Please turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21, where here it is, January 1st, 2025. And we're going to do prophecy update. It's a Wednesday night. And so last week we didn't have a study because it was Christmas 2024. And I started out even last year with this same section of Isaiah because it is so important and something that we've got to remember. It's almost like you got to highlight it, write it in your Bible. When people want to say, well, the Bible's just written by men, it's full of contradictions, I don't want to believe it. You know, what's our comeback? Prophecy. As I've emphasized so many times, and God says that He alone knows the end from the beginning, and that is what separates all the other religions, all the other gurus from the biblical God. And so can we know what the future is going to hold? Yes. So Isaiah 41:21, present your case, says the Lord. He's talking to an idolatrous Jewish culture. You know, present your case. You know, you guys have rejected me, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them, the idols they've been deceived into worshiping, let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Have the astrologers, the crystal ball gazers, the palm readers, in our generation and all that, have them come forth and really tell the future and then come back a few months and find out if it was true. Show forth what will happen. Let them show the former things, what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. Tell us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. So God really considers that we should be dismayed, that God is good, knows evil, tells us the end from the beginning, and it always comes true. He's saying, so if there's another God out there that can do that, then wow, let's be dismayed. But there's no other God that can do that. There is no other God. And so we can know for sure the things that Bible prophecy says about the future are going to come true. But here, as with trepidation, there's a lot of people, Christian prophecy ministries, that, including me in the past, including Chuck Smith 40 years ago, including all of us, what we can do wrong is be wrong on timing and how. There are certain things the Bible says that are absolutely going to come true. And then we can come along and say, okay, that's going to come true this year. Well, maybe it won't, because the Bible doesn't say what's going to happen in 2025. Or we'll say, it's going to happen this way. Well, maybe not. And see, we can look back on fulfilled prophecy and stand in amazement how the pundits trying to predict how and when were wrong. And so today I'm going to emphasize what it says. If we're in the last of the last days, there's a whole pile of very strong prophetic things for the last of the last days. So I'm not going to build the case for the fact that there's evidence we're in the last days and therefore these things are about to happen, because it's too obvious, and I've spent a lot of time talking about that in the past. So we're going to just hit some items that we absolutely know from Scripture are going to happen. I'll throw out some conjectures of what people are saying, possibly, how and when. But what we want to stick on is what we know where we're headed. And the first item is, we're headed to global government. The world is headed to global government. But I want to read one. We closed last year during this prophecy with this predictive article it was called 2024 Will Be a Year of Catastrophic War in the Middle East. So that was, you know, October 7th is when the Middle East had was terrorized by Hamas. And so January 1st was just a couple months later. And this is what, on December 25th, 2023, Michael Snyder, a good prophetic Bible, you know, he knows his Bible. And I'm just wanting to compare what he was saying to what actually happened. Hezbollah will never pull back to the Litani River willingly, and so a catastrophic conflict between Israel and Hezbollah is coming. Now, the Litani River, see, Hezbollah had their troops all the way to the very border of Israel. And we now know, built dozens of tunnels that were intended to come right up into the different kibbutzes and little communities in northern Israel, come popping out and killing and kidnapping thousands, thousands of Jews. All the weapons, you know, quads, tunnels that would allow quads to go streaming into Israel, RPGs, machine guns, just massive armament to come into Israel out of these tunnels. And what Israel was saying is, you got United Nations, you made a deal with us when we made peace with Lebanon that was sending rockets down to us. We made a deal that you, UN troops, would keep Hezbollah troops and armaments from getting south of the Litani River. And the UN let Hezbollah come and build all these tunnels and do all these weapons in complete violation of the United Nations. And so that's why Israel knew they had to send troops in. And so it says, they will never pull back willingly, so a catastrophic conflict between Israel and Hezbollah is coming. It's just a matter of time. But even if Hamas and Hezbollah could be completely wiped out, the truth is that the threat of radical Islam would not go away. Is that true? Is radical Islam ever going to tolerate a Jewish nation there? No. Why is that? The root cause of that is because they serve Allah. Allah is Satan. Has Satan spent his entire career trying to wipe out the Jewish nation? Because that's his career. Because if he wipes out the Jewish nation, he makes this Bible and the promises of God to the Jews false. He beats God. If he can wipe out the Jews, he beats God. And so it's never going to go away. And then he goes on to say, thanks to our very foolish politicians, millions of Muslims have been brought into the U.S. in recent years, and some of them are extremely radical. Needless to say, they are going to play a major role in the period of unprecedented chaos that is coming to our planet. So this war in the Middle East will not be the end of the story. Instead, it will be just the beginning. Well, we can, you know, he's not far off. What happened, you know, so he was saying, it's going to go catastrophic. As soon as Hezbollah, with all that we knew they had, as soon as they get in along with Hamas, it's going to be catastrophic. I thought the same thing. Might have even said the same thing. But it didn't happen. And you know what the Jews today say is the reason why it didn't happen? Why Hezbollah did not come into northern Israel? You know what they say? It's a miracle of Hashem. It's a miracle of God. And you know, the miracle of God might have been giving them the wisdom to move tens of thousands of their citizens out of all those villages in the north. And immediately, I mean immediately when the Hamas, you know, invasion on October 7th happens, they told tens of thousands, I think it was 80,000 people, to move out of all of their houses. Can you imagine being told by your government there was a war down south, and they say, you know, in the north, you've got to all leave right now. Turn the lights off, turn the water off, you're not coming back. Well, they're still not back. They're starting to come back, but a year and months later, they're still not all back. And so Hezbollah might have thought, okay, so boom, then we'll come in, we'll take hundreds, thousands. Look at how disruptive it was to Israel to have a couple hundred hostages all this time. It's tore the nation apart. Imagine if it was thousands. Thousands dead in the north. Thousands taken away captive to Lebanon. It would have been catastrophic. But God works in mysterious ways. He's allowed it to orchestrate in a way that it is what it is today. And have we been foolish to let Muslims into this country? And does anybody know, I should just have done the research to find out, I think the guy that ran over a bunch of people in New Orleans was a Muslim, right? Huh? Yeah, he was a Muslim. Huh?
He was flying an ISIS flag.
So the guy that ran in, for example, they are a hazard to be in this country because the guy that ran over dozens of people in New Orleans on the New Year's Eve in New Orleans today with his, he ran him over until his truck crashed, then he came out with a gun, started shooting people. A Muslim wanting to serve Allah, to, you know, be against the great Satan. There's tens of thousands of Muslims. They could be activated at any time. They could be truly sleeper cells that are waiting for Iran to say when to make it happen. They could even be activated by people within our own government who have nefarious reasons to cause a civil war within the country and massive confusion to cause a state of emergency. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen this year, but so many people are thinking there's so many things that could trigger a massive change in our country. Let's say Trump doesn't get elected because there's a fight in the Senate about the election being ratified and all of that being done for Inauguration Day. What if that doesn't happen? What if he gets shot? What if an attempt of being shot? What if people are activated and terrorists go nuts in the next 3 weeks before the inauguration? All those things are possibilities. I don't want to be somebody to say that those are going to happen because I can't know. But I know that everything is leading to global government. And one of the statements about global government is the globalists say, out of chaos, order. There's going to be chaos to bring the order. Does the Bible talk about the last days being filled with chaos? Absolutely. So let's turn to Daniel chapter 7, verse 19. So the catastrophic war between Hezbollah and Israel did not take place. But can we be sure that it's going to happen someday? We're not going to get into it because we've covered it. It's on our website, on our YouTube channel. But Psalm 83, Lebanon is listed as a nation in which there is going to be a conflict between Israel and Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, that is because the nations are gathering together, forming a conspiracy to say, let us make Israel cease from being a nation. Do all those countries want Israel to cease from being a nation? They just don't have the ability. They've spent decades and billions of dollars thinking they had the perfect plan. And they started to implement it on October 7th of over a year ago. And then their plan blew up. Why? Because Hashem, because the God of Israel, didn't let their plan come through. And so this week, what do we do without any doubt? What do we know without any doubt? The world is going to draw closer to becoming a global government of 10 nations. How do we know? Daniel chapter 7. I'm going to skip the chapters in Revelation that say the same thing. Daniel chapter 7 has a vision. And Daniel has a vision in chapter 7, verse 19. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast. And this vision that he had, that's a fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron, nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, trampled the residue with its feet, and the 10 horns that were on its head, and another horn which came up before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Now, if that's all we knew is the vision, we'd have a hard time making sure we knew what that meant. But fortunately, God interpreted the vision for Daniel. And it says that I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. And we're going to say that the interpretation, which comes immediately after this, says this is about the rise of a 10-nation global empire ruled by the Antichrist, who's going to make war with the believers in God. And he's going to overcome them. He's going to prevail against them. And that's made clear in Revelation 12, Matthew 24, Daniel 12 as well, that he's going to be able to kill Christians during the tribulation period. He's going to be able to kill Jews during the tribulation period, except the ones God divinely protects on the Jews, because one third of the Jews are going to survive the tribulation. To me, the Bible's clear. This section of scripture and Revelation and Daniel 12, that the Antichrist, everybody that believes in Jesus during the tribulation, they miss the rapture because they didn't believe before the rapture. They go into the tribulation. They hear from the 144,000. They hear from the two witnesses. They hear from the angels that are flying. They heard from you before you disappeared. You've got to give your lives to Jesus. You got to confess your sins to God. Do not take the mark of the beast. The Antichrist is coming. When they see all that, they're going to say, I'm going to listen to God. Even though the consequence is going to be they get beheaded. The Antichrist is going to find them and behead them. And they're going to die. And there's going to be myriads that come out of the tribulation. So chapter 7, verse 22. And then it says, until the ancient, he's going to overcome these saints. The Antichrist is going to overcome these saints until the Ancient of Days, that's Jesus, came. And a judgment was made in favor of the saints and the Most High. And the times came for the saints to possess a kingdom until Jesus comes to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And we see the interpretation of that in starting verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth. There's been three attempts at global government. There's going to be a fourth that's future to us, which shall be different from all other kingdoms and should devour the whole earth, trample it, break it in pieces, the 10 horns or 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. So we're not going to be here for the formation of the global government. But when people that are reading their Bibles or maybe even listening to this study, if it's still up, hasn't been taken down by the Antichrist, I want you to know, when the global government, where there's 10 regional leaders, that none of those are the Antichrist when it first forms, because the Antichrist rises up and takes out 3 of those leaders. And then he becomes the head, and there's still 10. So he appoints replacements for the 3 he overcame. He's the head of the entire global government, is what it says. And he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He will blaspheme God, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. He will change any law that is associated with biblical law. He will change the time from being dated to Jesus. It'll be dated to since he arrived or whatever else. He's going to change the times and he's going to change the law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times and half a time. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The Antichrist, who becomes possessed of Satan, we don't have time to cover all these verses, but that's, Revelation 11 through 13. The Antichrist becomes possessed of Satan, and he goes on a rampage to try and wipe out all believers on earth, because if he can do that, then he thwarts God's promises to mankind on earth. And he doesn't get rid of, he gets rid of all the Christians, but he doesn't get rid of the Jews. And they won't be church Christians, they'll be tribulation saints. But, verse 26 of Daniel 7, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole earth shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Jesus comes back, wipes out the Antichrist and the armies. We see that in Revelation 19. So, but before we get to that last period of time, the Antichrist is going to have, for 7 years, he's ruling. Last 3.5, he's ruling as a global tyrant like the world has never seen. And so what I have here on this PowerPoint is a map. This first one that I have is a globalist map of the world in 2011. And I got this map. You can't get it anymore. But you can look down there at the URL. And it was from europa.eu worldware index. This is from the European Commission website. And I was searching for a map of the world in the future, and I saw a link. Oh, EU in the world. Clicked on EU in the world, and it talked about how the whole world would be cut up into these 10 nations. This is EU in the world. They took it down probably because other people like me were starting to blow the whistle. Oh, this just happens to be what Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation say, and was blowing their cover. You see the Southeast Asia down by Thailand, Indonesia, and all that stuff? That is the Southeast Asia Union already formed. A missionary to Thailand told me, oh, they made it so we can go between these different countries with our passports. And this is like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And I pulled out this map and I said, is this all the places you can? Yeah, that's exactly what it is. European Union, where they made the European Union. Now, what does America look like? America, the North American Union, number one there in the list, what does it include? Canada. So would that mean that somebody someday is going to want to say that Canada should become part of the United States? Shouldn't that happen? Oh, that happened to be the news last week with our anti-globalist savior, President Trump. I'm going to warn you again, he's not our savior. Only Jesus is our savior. A lot of Christians are going to go, oh, we don't care, it's a good idea, like Canada. But as soon as they start talking about joining nations together to where it actually is going to make it so there's all the nations in South America are one, all the ones in North America are one, Europe is one, Africa is one, people that are committed to that, whether they know it or not, and I think they do, is they're falling into the hands of Satan. Because God divided the nations. He divided them up so that you couldn't consolidate all the power into a global leader. Because if you consolidate all the power into a global leader, what's going to happen? That leader is going to be wicked. Because when was the last time the whole world had a leader? It was Nimrod in Babylon. And what did God do to break him up? He looked down and he saw, there's nothing these people, that nothing will be kept from them to do to disrupt and be evil on this world. We need to confuse their language, and that's what scattered the nations. He gave them a bunch of languages, so they went off and scattered around the world and took their languages with them. And so what the world is doing is undoing the Babel effect. Satan is inspiring it to happen, undoing the Babel effect to cause the world to be one. How is it happening with language? Well, now you can go pretty much anywhere in the world with your phone and let somebody speak into it in German, and then your phone just reads it off in English. You can have almost a real-time conversation with anybody in the world where the language has been destroyed because the language barrier has been destroyed because of technology. For the first time in the world, we're living in a technological world where this can happen. And by the way, Trump is surrounding himself with technocrats that are the cream of the crop, brilliant technocrats. And the technology is what's going to enslave this world. And so we just have to be careful of that. Now, what I did before I made this map is I just Googled today Club of Rome map, because the first time I saw the globalist map that was made by the Club of Rome, which fed into the European Commission, the big globalist thinkers had a map back in 1982. I got the first map. So I did Club of Rome again to see if you could Google it. And now look at the difference there. So instead of Mexico being part of America and Canada, we have Mexico, part of South America, but what else has changed? Looking at this map, what else has changed in our neighborhood? Greenland. Well, Eastern Europe is a little bit different, but Greenland is tied to Europe in the 2010 map. This map, which I Googled today, Club of Rome came up, it shows Greenland part of America. Well, maybe we should take Greenland too. Maybe Canada and Greenland. That's what Trump said. And now look at this. This is before the Russia-Ukraine war. I know it's kind of hard to see there, but you know what Russia owns? Russia owns Ukraine, that eastern part of Ukraine. So the global, so wait, Kevin, are you mean the globalists are, have planned this war and planned this takeover? And this 2010 map is after the fall of the Russian Empire, the Soviet Union. And so then, would it be smart if you wanted to have global government where you're promising the people we're never going to have war again? And really, the reason for global government is that so we'll never have war again. The trillions of dollars used for the military-industrial complex is all going to be used to pay everybody's cable bill and heating and everything else. And they're going to be so excited about that. But if that's going to happen, you have to make sure nobody has weapons. And what better way than to use them all up? Yeah, use them all up. The final conflict, the final war, is to just use them all up and have so many hundreds of millions, if not billions of people dead, that the survivors are going to say, give me global government and make it never happen again. Shut down all the military-industrial complex. We need to rebuild the world that's now smoldering, and we need to have peace. And give us your guns. Well, okay, because if nobody has a gun, there's peace. Let us give you a global currency, because if you don't have a global currency, we can't make sure somebody doesn't buy a gun. Somebody doesn't use a lathe to make a gun. Somebody doesn't buy a digital printer, to be able to print a gun. The only way we can make sure nobody does anything to cause any conflict or any war is to follow every dollar, because it's a digital dollar assigned to you. Sure, go ahead, sign me up, put a mark in my hand. Do whatever it takes to make it so there's no war anymore. So anyway, these maps are kind of interesting. And so now So one thing we know is that the Bible says we're headed to global government. Are people in our generation talking about global government? Have they made it happen? No. What is it going to take to happen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. So something has to cause. How do we get to global government? I like being an American. I don't like soccer. I like football. I like baseball. We're all nationalistic, right? The globalists have to get rid of nationalism. Nobody gets to be nationalistic. And that can all be accomplished by wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence that will bring about global government. Matthew 24, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. This is Jesus talking about what it's going to be as a sign of his coming and the end of days. Wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. It's not going to wipe everybody off of the earth. For nation will rise against nation and kings against kingdoms, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. So I'm going to go to famines, and then we're going to go to pestilence. Then we're going to skip earthquakes, although it's a favorite topic of mine, and go to war. So we're going to look at famine, pestilence, and war. And so have you noticed that how much stuff is getting recalled these days? I mean, everything is, we tested and there's bird flu over here. Wipe out the whole herd. Well, we found bird flu in the chickens. So wipe out the whole flock. I mean, millions and millions of chickens. And when they're not wiping them out because of somebody came and tested, and, the farmers are saying, my birds are fine. Oh, no, we just told you they're not fine. Kill them. That's what's happening. And if they aren't convincing them to kill their chickens or their herds or the cows and everything else because of some disease that the FDA says they have, they're burning them down. They burn down Azure headquarters. They burn down massive chicken farms. Is it a chicken farm or is it a chicken coop? lots of food production. Have you noticed it in the price of eggs? What did the price of eggs used to go for? Around $2 for, and now I bought some the other day for $7, $7, $8. And so what they're doing. And so then Costco, just this is December 27th, Costco egg recall for salmonella receives FDA most severe designation. And most severe, but it's a voluntary recall. And this is what it goes on to say. The Food and Drug Administration has classified its recall of eggs sold under Costco's Kirkland brand as a class one recall, a designation reserved for instances of highest potential health risk, including death. There's a reasonable probability that the use or exposure will cause serious adverse health consequences. And then it says, it has not provided updates about whether any possible illnesses or medical cases related to the recall. How many people got sick? Nobody. How many got killed? Nobody. But, and then it goes on to say, eggs from a positive salmonella environment were shipped into distribution to retail facilities, and they weren't supposed to be. So in other words, FDA walks in, goes into this massive place in New York with a bunch of chickens, and they say, okay, your chickens look happy. we found some salmonella. There's some salmonella here in the facility. We want all those eggs put off to the side. And then they got into Costco and so then they do a voluntary recall. And you know, eggs are kind of protected from salmonella. Because, I mean, if you get it on the outside of the egg, most people don't eat the outside of the egg. They don't eat the eggshell. And so, this is happening. Now, I don't know if this is true. But, increasingly, there's been truck drivers and other people reporting to people that believe their story after checking them out, that are alternate news sources, that are saying, I'll call them Joe and some of these representative others. Hey Joe, I'm a truck driver and I work for this food processing plant, and the government just walked in today and say, I want all of your stuff. I want it all shipped to where we're going to tell you to ship it to, and we want the rest of your production line. And what they're being shipped to are federal areas next to deep underground bunkers. Dump sites. So in other words, why buy eggs from Costco if you're the government with your elites that are going to go into the bomb shelters because of something crazy coming? You just have the FDA come, find some salmonella, say, you need to ship all these eggs out of here, and they're all going to the bunker to get staged for people that are being, you know, that are being allowed to know where these places are and are going to rendezvous to those places when the decision is made to bring chaos to the country. Now, multiple reports, they could all be lying. It could not be true. But they're doing so many recalls. And you would have to watch what they do with the recalls. Do they actually throw them away? No, actually, we have a place that we're going to go take them and store them. If that is happening, and it's happening increasingly, very increasing use of this recall means that they're getting ready to go into the bunkers now, because you don't have that stuff forever, especially eggs. So I say that to say, if that happens, if all of a sudden the shelves start running out of food because they've been told no more stuff goes to Costco, no more stuff goes to Safeway, because we know what we're about to do, and there's no sense having it out on the counters because we want massive loss of life, and we're going to be protected. If that happens while we're still here, we go, you know what? Makes sense. They're getting ready for global government. They're getting ready for what we're going to be reading in the future. So then, so there will be wars, rumors of wars. There'll be famines. There will be pestilence. This is December 24th, 2024. How America lost control of bird flu, setting the stage for another pandemic. We already have the governor of the state of California declared an emergency in the state of California without having a bird flu case that he can point to. Now, why would a governor do that? He's setting the stage for another lockdown on this country. And, you know, I was just told by a couple of people today that I couldn't verify it. I tried to. But this last bill that the Congress designates tens of millions of dollars for the next vaccine for the next pandemic. Well, how do they know the next pandemic's coming? And how come they know the vaccine? And if they're going to force it on us, which they're also saying the laws passed by the UN and with the World Health Organization, it's not going to be, no, I don't want the jab. It's going to be, you want the jab or you want to get killed, debanked for being resisting. Pestilence. It's very possible they're going to release something even more virulent this next time. And there could be massive death. So again, famine comes. What do we do? Thank you, Jesus. Within 30 days, I'm going to be dead. some might last longer. Wow. They're going to release something and people really start dropping dead from the next pandemic. Well, thank you, Jesus. The pandemic might kill my body, but it can't kill my soul. And it makes perfect sense because we're at the end, God. And they're going to use pestilences, famines. You told us it was going to happen. War is going to happen. So let's go to Revelation 6:1. So now I'm going to go to war. But by the way, are earthquakes increasing? Kind of hard to say database. You have to do like above what... above what magnitude and everything. But you know what's really increasing? Volcanoes. And volcanoes are related to earthquakes. And it's just like they're finding out there's a bulge off the coast of Oregon. This is news today. There's a bulge off the coast. They've been watching it. They know it's a volcano off the coast. And it's bulging, getting ready to erupt. They found that recently we did a bunch of Northern Arctic ocean floor underneath the ice studies and found out that there's a big thermal, there's a bunch of lava / thermal energy being made on the ocean floor. And so now what would happen if there's a volcano on the ocean floor in the North Pole area, what would that cause to happen? Thinning of the ice sheet. And what would the government say the thinning of the ice sheet is due to? You breathing instead of a volcano erupting. And there was a volcano that erupted off of the coast of Oregon years and years ago. And I called the seismologist while all the articles in the country were global warming, because look at this El Nino and what's the other one? La Nina. And then I looked at the satellite picture of the temperature of the water being increased, and it just goes right down along the west coast and then to the equator. Well, that's the current. You know, that's the current. And the hot spot was right off the coast of Oregon. And then after they go, La Nina, global warming, we gotta, you know, make all these laws and lock down everything. Oh, by the way, there's a volcano erupting over there. And so they say, and I called up the seismologist, I go, you guys need to go find out what's going on there. There's a volcano over there. And, well, we're seismologists, we're not volcanologists. And I said, and also volcanoes cause earthquakes and stuff too. Revelation 6:1, after the rapture happens in Revelation 4, but this is what, and then there's, the scene of Jesus is the Lamb of God getting ready. He's worthy to open the scroll, the seals of the scroll, and all the angels in heaven are worshiping him. And even the saints are worshiping him. And then he starts popping the seals of the scroll. Now I saw when the Lamb, Jesus, opened one of the seals on the scroll, title deed to earth, which starts the wrath of God. This is so important for the pre-trib rapture understanding. That's Jesus going, okay, I'm taking back the earth. Bam! And so everything that's happening as he's popping these seals are the wrath of God on this unbelieving earth that has just had the rapture of the church shortly before this, you know, months, years before this. And I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked and behold a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. I'm going to skip that one. A lot of people think it's the Antichrist. I think it's something different, but we covered it in Revelation. But I want to skip this one to get to the next three horsemen. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. And again, I spent a little bit of time in Rwanda, that area of Africa after Rwanda. For those of you who never heard of Rwanda, all of a sudden the Hutus and the Tutsis that lived in two tribes in Rwanda just decided that the Hutus decided that they were going to kill the Tutsis. And they just took machetes and just went through and killed over a million of their friends. And then in interviewed years later, on an anniversary interview, that these guys were neighbors. And the Hutu was going to kill his Tutsi neighbors, but they hid in a false wall of their house. Why did you do that? Why were you... You were neighbors. Your kids played together. Why were you looking for them to kill them with your machete? I don't know. It just came over me. So we just don't appreciate what it is for God to restrain people from killing each other. There is a restraint right now that God has put upon this wicked world. No, you can't go and just murder each other. And what he's going to do when he pops the second seal is, you don't want me? Okay, I'll pull away. I'll pull away my restraint. And all of a sudden, China and Taiwan light off, along with Japan and India and Pakistan, and now the Afghanistanis are making war with Pakistan right now. NATO and Russia get into it. I mean, peace is going to be taken from the world, and there will be a great sword to kill one another. Psalm 83 might happen. Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38-39, if they haven't happened before this, then it's going to happen then. When he opened the third seal, verse 5, a third living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked and behold a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, a day's wage." So you get a quart of wheat for a day's wage. Carnivores are going to have a terrible time. So can I have just a little bit of salami or something? A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and don't harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, horse number 2, with hunger, horse number 3, with death, horse number 4, by the beasts of the earth. So does war create famine? What do you think is going to happen if there was major war that took out our power grid or bombed major cities? Are people going to have a hard time taking diesel trucks to get to Safeway and all these other places? Famine is going to be unbelievable. And so war, if you aren't run through with the sword, you're going to run out of food. Pestilence is going to get you because people have used biological weapons or chemical weapons or whatever else, and nuclear fallout, all this stuff that could be happening. And a fourth of the world's population dies in a short period of time. Which I know I'm repeating myself, but I looked up once. Every man, woman, child in America. Every man, woman, child in China. That's a big place. And every man, woman, and child in UK. That's 2 billion people. That's the kind of misery that starts off the tribulation period. So the world's going to global government. There will be wars and rumors of wars, pestilence that will make it happen. And like I said earlier, the survivors will say, "Give me global government or give me death." Instead of "give me freedom" or "give me death," it's going to be "give me global government" or "give me death." That's how it needs to be that bad for the world to just give up their nation state stuff and everything else. And we're out of time. But I want to say global financial collapse. Number 3, there will be a global financial collapse. How do we know? Does the Bible say there's going to be a global financial collapse? How can we say the Bible says there's going to be a global financial collapse? Because right now, everybody's country has their own currency. So if America loses a dollar, well, the Chinese got the one. If the Americans lose a dollar, well, the Europeans, they've got their, either some of their currencies are still there, but for the euro, for the most part. And yep, Russia's got its ruble. So nobody can control the economy of the world right now. You can't control the whole world's, nobody can control the whole world's economy right now. But the Bible says in Revelation 13:15, and we will read this, and I was going to turn to number, we're going to get further. 13:15, he, the right-hand man to the Antichrist, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the Antichrist, the beast, some kind of holographic thing or some kind of video thing that John was seeing in his life. You know, he was saying, man, there was this, I saw this image of the Antichrist and it's speaking. How could that happen when the Antichrist is over there, but there's this image and it speaks? You know, idols in John's day didn't speak. But in our day, we could have somebody on the big screen TV speaking, and John is seeing what is going to happen on the world in the future. Image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand of the forehead, and that no one may be able to buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Not possible today. But if we do go to a digital currency, and it's all going to be finalized as a result of global conflict to make sure that we never make war again, and at first it's going to be, if you turn in your guns, you get to be part of the economy. If you recognize that we would rather have an AI computer decide who should be president instead of you because you're too dumb, and we're going to be, the AI computer is just going to sniff the culture and say, this is who needs to be the new head of the North American Union. And we're going to make sure that nobody reads nefarious false information, misinformation, whatever else, as defined by AI. We won't define it. It's AI, because AI is all-knowing and knows what the truth is. And as long as you don't try some alternate media of getting something out or passing out a handout or sending some nefarious email to somebody, you get to buy and sell. And it truly is. Try an empty, sometimes you can't use cash. They're trying to make it so you can't use cash. And try and even trade with somebody. You have to trade with cash, because that's what you do. If you want to be under the counter, well, they could solve tax evasion by saying there's no more cash. It has to be digital. It has to be tracked. And then someday the Antichrist is going to have his right-hand man say, you know, you need to worship him, and we're going to add another requirement to this new computer database of your ability to buy or sell. You bowed to him and worshiped his image as God, and you took his name in your hand. And as soon as you've done that and bowed, you get to stay in the system. If you don't take his mark and you don't bow, or you don't bow, then you're deleted. Have fun. I hope you like looking for roots and eat bark and moss off of trees. And even then, you're not going to be able to buy a clothes. And we'll say that anybody that helps you is also going to be deleted. So that's, and if I were to have said exactly what I just said 20, 30 years ago, you'd all be walking out. The guy's a nutcase. But now it's all feasible. It's being talked about. It's ready to be implemented. The data centers that are going up all across the country that are databasing everybody in AI power to enslave us. We're in the last days. So I want to emphasize again, even if that happens, it's not, if they make you turn in your guns to be able to buy or sell high-priced eggs, Is that the mark of the beast? No. Because you're not worshiping the Antichrist. So you could say, okay, I like eggs more than lead. might as well stay alive. Trust God. You're going to trust God. But if any of these things happen, we have to rest in Jesus and say, God, it is well with my soul. And like I said in the very opening section, take your friends and neighbors to Isaiah 40, the chapters of 40. God told us it was going to be happening in the last days. It is happening. There's only, He alone is God. And He also told us He created you and He just wants you to love Him like He loves you. Why don't you give your life to Jesus? That's what we need to be doing instead of thinking we're going to pick up sticks and go fight the global system of the Antichrist, because that's not going to work, because God says they win. And it's not our mission to do that. It's our mission to help minister to those that are lost. Amen. I hope everybody looks at this as like, I know the truth. This has to be the truth. I'm not delusional. I'm not believing in a religion just because I like Christian religion. It's a relationship with the God who knows the end from the beginning and has given us life through His Son, Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray that You would help us to endure the days that lie ahead in 2025. So many think it's going to be a crazy year. And God, only You know how crazy it's going to be. But we just pray that through the craziness, You would truly help us to rest in You, have faith that grows, and is able to say, though He slay me, still I will worship Him and praise Him. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Give glory and honor to His name. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Glory and honor to His name. Jesus is the Lord and blesses you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Give glory and honor to His name. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Give glory and honor to His name. Jesus is the Lord who blesses you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious.
Said, my peace I give to you, not the kind of peace the world gives, which is temporary, but my peace I give to you, a deep peace that lets us weather whatever comes. May God give you a peaceful, joyful new year. In Jesus' name, God bless you.